Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for just this amazing evening. We thank you for, Lord, our church family and also our friends and visitors who have come tonight, Lord, to really refocus during this time of Christmas, to maybe let all the traditions we have fade away in the light of worshiping Christ, of Father, you giving your Son as the Savior of the world, Lord, to die for our sins. And we just thank you, Lord, and we pray that you would be blessed and you would be praised tonight through all of these songs, Lord, to declare the truth of Scripture and who Christ is and how you sent him to save us. So we thank you. We pray that you bless this time with our church family. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Seated. Now, you probably received a little length of rope this evening. Not a tradition you're used to, and you have no idea what for, but you will know later. So hold on to that. We'll tell you why. But for this evening, what we're going to do is what we do every year, is we go through the historical narrative of the birth of Christ. We go to Luke's gospel for that, and we're going to read, excuse me, I'm not sick, just so you know, we're going to read through that passage of scripture that declares what happened in God's plan in the birth of Christ, and we're going to pause to sing all the Christmas songs that coincide with those truths. Now, I want to encourage you, this is a time of singing worship to the Lord, and maybe, just maybe, you've never really focused on the words of these songs. They're so familiar that maybe you haven't paid attention to the words. So I encourage you, we pick these for a reason. Listen to the words because they declare God's word to us. So why don't we start with Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child.
Oh, come, Emmanuel. And ransom captive Israel, who mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou day star, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, and ransom captive Israel, who mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Verse 6. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Fall on your knees.
verse 8, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord."
Second birth, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Let's sing it loudly.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sin. Reconcile, joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Verse 12, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Song. to Bethlehem and see Christ, whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King.
Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Verse 17, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
To the world. grace and make the nations prove.
Sing it out.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
At this time, I'm going to let our worship band vacate the stage. They're going to wait for us outside where we're going to do the candle lighting portion. But I get a moment to share a short message with you this Christmas time. If I were to sum it up in two words, it would be hold fast. Now, I need you to take out those ropes that you were given at the beginning. Okay? Just hold on to this and bear in mind as I explain this to you. But before I do, 2020 was not the year any of us expected. Now it's almost over, right? We're going to be wrapping it up soon. And I think to put 2020 in perspective, I think it would be helpful for us to recount some of the events of this last year. You ready? We all know things started to go south with the whole COVID-19. We had fear increasing in our culture, lockdowns, closure of businesses, loss of jobs, loss of hope. And even today, one of our church members posted a little plaque that she had made, and it had this saying on it: you never know what you have until it is gone, ... like toilet paper, 2020. We never thought we'd live through the toilet paper scare of 2020, but we can tell our grandkids one day that we thought we were going to run out, and we never did. Because we all know we can't live without toilet paper. But with the lockdowns and everything else that has happened, if you remember, in the midst of that, we had the unfortunate and tragic death of George Floyd. And that sparked all kinds of controversy in our culture. We had the issues with BLM protests that turned into looting and rioting. We had, I know it's worth crying about, 2020. We have racial unrest, attack on law enforcement, lack of support there that hasn't been there in this way. And then as we get through that, then it's the ramp up to the presidential election and all the craziness of media fiascos and manipulation, divisiveness, the loss of faith in our election process. And now we're thinking, okay, they're going to figure it out hopefully eventually. And then a resurgence of COVID-19. So then once again, more increased fear, more lockdowns, more sickness, more anxiety, more frustration with our elected officials. And that's all the things that happen to all of us. You have your own experiences as a family and as an individual. Personal losses, personal things that you went through in 2020. Just this last Monday, I was asked to do a special ceremony called a Night of Remembrance for a mortuary in San Bernardino. The man who runs it there, he sends out invitations every year to all the families who lost a loved one that year. And the family members submit their names, and they remember and honor those passed on loved ones in a ceremony. And I got a chance to share comfort and hope from God's word. So they recorded it, and it's going to go out to about 450 families. They're going to put it on the mortuary's website for anybody who has lost somebody in 2020. And you see, those people, and if you're one of them who lost somebody in 2020, that was the most significant thing you went through this year. Not all the things we all went through. That's a big deal. But you all have different things. Increased anxiety, maybe even depression, fear. It's been rough. So we need to put 2020 in perspective. And I think the best way to do that is recognize that 2020 has not been a peaceful year. I think we can agree, everybody can agree on that. And yet, during Christmas time, the thing that we celebrate is the fact that the birth of Christ means that He brought peace to humanity's chaos. But it's not the world's idea of peace. It's God's idea, God's way of bringing peace. And it's not so much man to man and human society being at peace, but it's man at peace with God. No longer at war with him because of our sin, but Christ came to erase our sin so that he can make peace through the blood of his cross, and we can be at peace with God once again. That is the peace that every single individual, no matter what they went through this year, needs in these times. And so the thing that I can exhort all of us in is the biblical command to hold fast. Well, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to define it for you. You see, in the English language, it means these things: to remain tightly secured. You'd say the door held fast. It was obviously locked. Or it means to continue to believe in or adhere to an idea or principle. Example, it's important that we hold fast to these policies. As a Christian, we would say it's important that we hold fast to faith in Christ. Now, if you were to look at the history of that phrase, hold fast, it originates in the nautical culture, meaning those who sail the seven seas. And in the nautical culture of years past, it means to bear down, to grit out, and to stay the course. It actually comes from the Dutch words, houd vast. I don't know if that's a good Dutch accent, but I'm going to go with it. And it refers to the importance of securely gripping the rigging, the rope tied to the sails and the other parts of the ship that keep it on course. And also the rigging is what the sailors hold on to in a storm so they don't go overboard. They hold fast to the rope or the rigging. Now, sailors are known for many other things, like their language and tattoos and trinkets from, got any Navy guys and gals in here? Anybody? They're quiet. If I said Marines, there you go. Marines always make themselves known. But the Navy, they would pick up tattoos, permanent images engraved on their skins to remind them of their travels. And the sailor culture started to grab certain symbols. And what they started to do is they would have ones like the shellback turtle, which means that you have crossed the equator in your sailing travels. Or you would have a swallow, and you'd see it on the chest or somewhere else, and it meant that you have gone 5,000 nautical miles. And every time you reach 5,000, you get another swallow. Okay, there's also my favorite of all of them, is some would get tattooed on one foot a pig and on one foot a rooster, believing that it would make sure that they didn't drown at sea. Why a pig and a rooster? Because what they would do is they would ship pig and rooster in crates that float. So when the ship was shipwrecked, the only thing that would survive are the pigs and the roosters. So the sailors are like, I need good luck charms on me feet so I don't end up drowning, right? So that's what they would do. And the other thing they did is they would tattoo hold fast, one letter on each knuckle, on both hands, so that it would help give them a secure grip on the rigging. It's interesting. Now, what's even more fascinating is our life is a ship. We're headed to a destination, and we need to hold fast to our faith in Christ. And if we don't, we could find ourselves overboard, drowning in the circumstances of a turbulent sea of our life that we're going through. We need to hold fast to the hope we have in Christ and faith in him. And that's why the Bible uses this term, hold fast. But actually, it shows up. The first usage is really fascinating. It shows up in Genesis 2. Yeah, verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Isn't that fascinating? To hold fast. In the Hebrew, it means to be glued to them, stuck to them as one piece. And so I wonder if in our culture, where we've seen so many failed marriages and the family broken to pieces, what would happen if men rose up and started holding fast to their wife the way God intended, instead of holding fast to other things, other distractions, other pursuits? But what's happened is Many men stop holding fast to their wife. Their wife stops holding fast to them, and the family falls apart. And it falls apart because before holding fast to your spouse, you should be holding fast to the Lord. We hold fast to Him in faith, and that enables us to cling to those whom we are in that covenant together. But what about this idea of holding fast to the Lord? It's all over the Old and New Testament. Deuteronomy 4:4, "But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today." Those who didn't hold fast were not alive. So there's a connection between holding fast to the Lord in faith and living life and having life. So if you really want to have a life worth living, you need to hold fast to the Lord. Deuteronomy 10:20, "You shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him and hold fast to him." Deuteronomy 11:22, "For if you will be careful to do all his commandment that I command you today, loving the Lord your God, walking in all his ways and holding fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours." See, God was teaching his covenant people, Israel, that if they would obey his commands and love the Lord, walk in his ways, and hold fast to him, he would give them victory over evil, victory over their enemies, and he would bless them in the land he was sending them to. Who doesn't want victory over the enemy today? Who doesn't want to be blessed in the land God has sent you to? It's very simple. We need to obey his commands, walk in his ways, and hold fast to him. And we've been studying Revelation on Sunday mornings. And maybe you caught these two words in the early chapters of this book in the letters to the various churches. Revelation 2:13, "In the midst of great trials and suffering," Jesus says this to the church, "I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, yet you hold fast my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you where Satan dwells." And so, in the midst of an evil culture and satanic attack, the church was able to hold fast to the name of Christ and did not deny their faith. In the midst of the worst of situations, you can hold fast to the Lord, keep his name, and not lose your faith. It also says in Revelation 2:25, "Only hold fast what you have until I come." What do we have in Christ? Eternal life, faith, hope, joy, so many things I can't even list them all. But he says, hold fast to that faith you have in Christ. Now, that faith in Jesus, as we hold fast to it, as a sailor holds to the rigging, it is the lifeline of your life and mine. It is the cord of unity that binds your family together. It's the rescue line from your sins and the destruction you deserve, and it is our connection to eternal life. Now I ask you this question: what did the disciples hold fast to when they found themselves in the worst storm they've ever been in? Well, this is the one passage I'll read at the end. Mark 4:35. Pay attention to what these disciples do and see if you can pick up on what they held fast to. Verse 35, "On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" You see, the truth is the disciples didn't hold fast. He says, "Do you still have no faith?" And yet, even though they didn't hold fast to faith in Jesus, he saved them anyways. And maybe 2020 has shaken your faith a little bit. Maybe you have wavered in faith the way the disciples did. They were sailors. They have been on the ocean. They know storms, and yet this one freaked them out. And there's Jesus in the boat, but he's fast asleep in the front. And they go up to him, and they're like, "Wake up. Do you not care that we're perishing?" And I wonder how many people have gone through 2020 with that doubt in their heart and mind, going, "God, do you not care what I'm going through? Do you not care that we're perishing?" And yet Jesus is the one, when we hold fast to him and look to him, he gets up, and he's the only one who can bring peace to the worst of storms in your life. You may have gone through the worst storm you have ever experienced, and yet Jesus is the only one who can carry you through it, bring peace to you during it, and even bring an end to it if he so decides. But here's the truth and reality. I see in this passage this amazing truth that we are called by God to hold fast to Jesus. But if my ability to stay saved and be eternally secure is based on my ability to hold fast in faith to Jesus, I am a dead man. I won't make it. My hands, my faith are feeble. They're weak. They're worn out at times. And the Bible says to hold fast to him, but the beautiful truth is that Jesus is holding fast to you. He's saying, "Hey, hold on tight," but it's like a parent who's holding on to their child. They still tell the child to hold on, but they know that that child is not going to hold on if they let go. So they've got them tight, and they're not letting go. And the truth is, Jesus said he doesn't lose a single person. He says, "It's the Father's will that all who come to me, I lose not one." Jesus doesn't lose anybody. So no matter what you're going through, don't believe the lie that God doesn't care. He knows, he's holding fast to you, and he's calling you to hold fast to him. That is one of the greatest things we can do. So that little rope, that is one of those things. Every time we do this service, God speaks to my wife, some object lesson for you. You've left in years past with a bell from Polar Express that believing in the Lord, right? And that was your take home. This year, it is that length of rope to remind you that you are to hold fast to faith in Christ as a sailor holds fast to the rigging of the ship that is his only hope. Jesus is yours and mine, our only hope. And so I want to encourage you this year, hold fast to him in faith as he is holding fast to you. Amen? Amen? And so, at this point in our service, I'm going to pray, but we're going to, in an orderly fashion, walk out this door. And we've got some gentlemen who are going to hand out the candles. We're going to go out. We're going to kind of make a half circle. We're going to turn off the lights. And from my family to yours, we're going to light the candles. And then we're going to sing a song together as we do so and end our time together. But let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you of that amazing truth that by your grace, you are holding fast to us, Lord, and we are to, by faith, hold fast to you. Lord, may we be firmly secure in you. May we be glued to you. May we press on and not lose heart, and may we stay true, Lord, to your name and our faith in you. I pray, Lord, that you would bless each and every person who is here, Lord, that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord, that you are holding them fast in your capable and loving arms. I pray, Lord, that you would bring great joy into their life as they trust you. May you bring them eternal life and joy through faith in Jesus. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, so you know, these candles are symbolic. The light that we are going to light and give to one another is the light of Christ. And it is the mission of the church to take what we have received and give it out to all those we know. So may that be an act of faith and the mission of the church as we do that together.